Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mount up and have a quick hypothetical here, because I'm just scrolling Twitter during the break.
All right.
And I found something that might get your dad and you a little interested.
Okay.
So ML Football
has
an article that says trending, not an article, but a tweet. It says New York Giants fans are pushing for the team to trade for Rams star quarterback Matthew Stafford at the trade deadline.
I don't hate that move.
Would immediately make the G-men a serious playoff threat.
It absolutely would. Yeah. Do you know the Rams are really bad this year?
And this is the picture that you would be able to see. Looks pretty good.
It looks to me almost like Tim Tebow.
Looks like I was going to say a savior. Tim Tebow's.
Yeah, the Rams aren't really good this year. I almost put them on Bob's bottom feeders this week, but I love their head coach, so I didn't want to put them in that category.
I wonder if
they're not good. They have one win.
They're just so hurt.
Yeah. Are they sellers and then just go try to figure it out? Because I don't think they would sell quarterback in L.A. I feel like they might sell, like, defensive players or maybe, like, because they don't really have any offensive players to sell.
And you start to listen to what Binkley had to say about the quarterbacks. I was having a conversation with my buddy Jim last night about, he's like, let's go get Tyreek Hill. I'm like, hang on a second.
Yeah, be careful with that. Somebody might write about you.
Yeah. You know, and so we were kind of talking about that last night. I'm like, he goes, because, you know, the Dolphins need a quarterback. I'm like, who's coming out this year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've watched some college football, not intently like Jay Binkley or, you know, anything like that, but I kind of feel the same way with Jay. Like, is there really a quarterback right now? Mac, you can jump in on this too, because you watch it intently. But, like, is there a quarterback in college football right now that you're like, I got to get that guy?
No.
No, right?
No.
Yeah, I don't feel it. Like, each week I'm waiting.
I know.
And waiting. And I'm like, eh, whatever. It's fun to watch these games, but I don't see, like, a quarterback coming out that you could build your franchise around. That's what the Giants need. Then, if the Rams were to trade Matthew Stafford, then they would need that guy. So, who are you backfilling with if you're the Rams and you trade Matthew Stafford? Because, I mean, I don't like the Raiders. They're going to need a quarterback after the season. Their owner said so yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Titans.
Titans are going to need a quarterback after the season. Like, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, right? And if you're the Rams, you have a quarterback. Why would you trade him if the backfill, unless you're willing to go, you know, dormant for a couple of years? But if you're the Rams right now, like, you've got a guy. You've got a guy. Why would you trade that guy and create a massive hole on your roster? I don't. That's the kind of the way my brain works on that one.
No, I agree completely. Yeah. I mean, Shador, Carson Beck. I mean, there's just not really a quarterback that's coming out that is like eye popping.
Ewers, Beck, and Shador, I think, are the top.
Those are the three.
Those are your three. And do any of those scream, I'm ready to build my franchise around
Shador Sanders?
Yeah, like, each of them show flashes. Carson Beck has thrown some lasers these past few weeks. Well, what did he do against Alabama when it really mattered? Like, the biggest game of the season. We'll see. Like, he'll have a couple other big games.
Don't bring that up. His girlfriend will get after you.
My fault.
No, only if you complain about his looks.
Oh. Yeah. And then Shador, I mean, yeah, you know better than us, Dusty. I mean, he's got all the play, but you want to deal with the off-the-field stuff with him. There's going to be some drama there.
Well, his problem is that he's just not – he's kind of in that same boat as, like, he's not real tall.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play small is the difference between he and Bryce Young.
He doesn't play small.
Yeah, he doesn't play small.
How short is he?
I think he's like 6 foot, like right at it. Like, he's right there.
Which is short for an NFL quarterback. Right. Yeah.
But he doesn't, there's a difference. Like, he doesn't play, like, you look at him, you don't look at him like you look at Kyler Murray.
No.
Like, you see Kyler Murray, you're like, okay, he's tiny, but, like, he can make it work because he's agile. You look at Bryce Young, you're like, that guy just can't do anything.
Right. Middle school. Yeah.
And Shador Sanders, obviously still in college, not playing against the best talent in the world, doesn't really play like Drew Brees didn't play small. And Drew Brees wasn't big.
He wasn't big.
He had a powerful arm, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback that made a lot of things happen.
Made Sean Payton look good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But again, it's that time of the year, Bob Fesco, where guys become mercenaries and go to do things that never really pan out.
They really don't. Like when the trades went down yesterday, boom, boom, you know, you had, you know, Devontae Adams go to the Jets, Amari Cooper go to Buffalo, and immediately you start to, you know, look on X, formerly Twitter.
He's 6'2", by the way. I'm sorry. Shador Sanders is 6'2".
Oh, he is?
Okay,
yeah.
That's good enough.
As of right now, he's 6'2".
He'll be like
6'1".
Exactly. And then it'll be 6'4", and then it'll be down to 6'3", and so somewhere
in between. Because Michael Beasley was 7 feet tall. Then he got to the combine. He was 6'7".
Crazy how that works, right?
Anyway, sorry I didn't
interrupt you. No, it's fine. I don't care. And so you saw those trades yesterday, and then, you know, fans immediately, you know, go, well, where's our guy, right? And and sometimes I think, you know, Chiefs fans forget, like, we're the hunted right now, right? We're not in desperation mode. The Jets are in desperation mode. They fired their coach. They promoted Aaron Rodgers to play caller, and they went out and traded for Devontae Adams. That is desperation mode. Like, you can smell the Jets' desperation all over the country. The Buffalo Bills are kind of in desperation mode right now. They've beaten some really bad teams, haven't beaten any good teams. They're missing something on offense. That window gets closer and closer and closer to closing. Should have been closed last year if Kadrapius lines up on sides. Buffalo doesn't make the playoffs last year, right? And that window may have shut, but they're trying to hold on for dear life to beat the Chiefs. They go out and get Amari Cooper. Those are teams that are in desperation mode. Mm-hmm. We're not in desperation mode. We're two-time Super Bowl champs back-to-back, three-time Super Bowl champs with Patrick Mahomes. Go to the AFC Championship game every year. Mm-hmm. We're not in desperation mode. You don't have to make a desperate move. But when you start to covet your neighbor's wife, which I think is natural in sports, right? You see a team make a move, you're like, well, why aren't we making a move, right? Sometimes you don't make a move just for the sake of making a move. Mercenaries really don't work in the NFL, with the exception of Tom Brady, right? That worked out fine for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? They went out and got Tom Brady. He ended up winning them a Super Bowl. But you start to look at these receivers and how they paid off. Randy Moss put up great numbers. They never won a Super Bowl with Randy Moss in New England. Tyreek Hill, what have the Dolphins done since they got Tyreek Hill? Emmitt Smith went to Arizona. They didn't do anything. Jerry Rice moved on. They didn't do anything. DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona. They didn't do anything. Russell Wilson to Denver. That failed miserably. Deshaun Watson. How's that mercenary rule working out for you, right? Antonio Watson, Brown to the Patriots. That didn't work out so good. Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, both here to Kansas City. That didn't work out good. And then you've got guys that were traded a year ago at the wide receiver position. Chase Claypool traded to Miami last year. Big move. 9 games, 4 catches. He's now with the Bills.
No, he's out of the league.
Is he out of the league now?
Yeah, I don't think he's on the,
Van Jefferson a year ago traded to Atlanta. 12 games, 12 catches. He's now with Pittsburgh. A year ago, Donovan Peoples-Jones traded to Detroit.
DPJ.
8 games, 5 catches. Hasn't shown up yet this year. Has 0 stats. And then, so when you start to look at like all of these guys that get traded, the return on investment just isn't there. And for a team like the Chiefs, they're not in desperation mode. I hate to say the Chiefs are playing with house money, but by God, if any organization is playing with house money, it's Kansas City right now, right? We've got all sorts of house money. So you don't have to go out there and make that desperation move because everybody else is doing it. Odds are these guys really don't pan out. Kadrapius, did he pan out? Yeah, the Super Bowl was a big move, but after that, I mean, you know, people are ready to throw him out with the bathwater, as they like to say. So
no love for Moss. Undefeated season, lost in the Super Bowl.
But they lost in the, they didn't win the championship, but
they
right?
They got there.
You did, but you also got Randy Moss to win a championship. And when it came down to winning a championship, I don't know where Randy Moss was in that Super Bowl, getting eaten up by whoever was covering him in the backfield, and Michael Strahan was bringing, you know, Tom Brady to the ground. So you didn't win. So you got to win championships. That's what it's all about. They didn't bring Randy Moss to go 18-0 and fall short. They brought him in to win that Super Bowl and ultimately didn't. And again, he wasn't a mercenary midseason, right? He was brought in the offseason, right?
That's fair.
And so it's a little bit different in that standpoint. You got the whole offseason to work and get things moving in the right direction. And I spoke to somebody last week about, you know, the Chiefs making a move at that wide receiver spot. And the return response I got was, look, it's so hard to insert a guy into this offense in the middle of the season. And I always keep going back to that because it was somebody that has kind of a clue as to what's going on, right? And I'm like, yeah, that does make sense. So the Chiefs are never going to be an organization that's going to go out there and react because Buffalo and the Jets made a move. If you start reacting to other teams, that's when you end up failing. You got to stick to what you have going on. And if you have a chance to add a guy that makes sense, you go do it. But you just don't go add a guy for the sake of adding a guy unless it's going to be somebody that you can see long term. And I don't know what Slayton's contract is, but I don't believe it's up after this season, right?
I need to look.
No, who?
Slayton.
Darius Slayton.
I don't believe so.
If the Chiefs do make that, that's the sort of move that they would make. to give up a draft pick to have somebody that they have control over for the next year or two, right? They're not going to go out there and throw a flyer on somebody that's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, at least a big one anyway. You go out and you get a guy like Darius Slayton, then you're more apt to give up picks because it's somebody that you do have under control.
He is an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he is an unrestricted free agent. So if you have to give a sixth or a seventh round draft pick for Darius Slayton, that's probably the max that the Giants would be able to get for somebody like that who's going to be a free agent, you know, at the end of the year. But again, I don't know that I see the Chiefs making a big splash. Darius Slayton may be the biggest name that they go out there and acquire, but they don't really need to go out there and do that because they're not a desperate team. And these moves at the trade deadline, the three that we talked about last year, Chase Claypool, Van Jefferson, Donovan Peoples-Jones, they didn't do anything for the teams that they got added into.
You have two third-round picks. You could trade yours and keep the Titans one that you got for LeJarius Sneed, which is kind of like a, I don't want to say house money, but it's kind of like a insurance, like bet. Like, you want the Titans third because you know they suck.
They stink, yeah.
You're going to have, like, a late-round pick. So if you can get that Titans third, that could be, like, you know,
top of the third round.
Yeah, like, I'd be okay with that. The other thing, too, is that, like, the only reason I think we need to make a move, or the Chiefs need to make a move, not they, is the fact that, like, you are on thin ice. Like, in years past, it was more so like, yeah, these guys are dropping the ball, but your roster was packed. You don't have the luxury of having another receiver, because once another guy goes out, then it's Sky Moore.
Well, and that's what I don't want.
Yeah. I will give up a damn second round pick Sky Moore out there every single play.
Now, if you get to that point, then the circumstances are different. But the other thing that's different is, you mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah.
5.6 points in the second half on average.
So far.
This defense. And
you played good offenses.
Yeah.
You played an offense where their quarterback put up 500 yards in a game.
Yeah.
You played an offense that, you know, just had a shootout against Tampa Bay.
Right.
Baltimore's putting up points, so yeah, I'm with you.
You know, like I think people, again, we look at the offensive side. Oh, we got to do more on the offense. You're disrespecting this defense that's been good since the beginning of last year.
Your offensive car right now needs an oil change, windshield wiper fluid, and it's got low air in both rear tires.
Right.
So like one pothole could wreck it, and I'd rather just take it to the mechanic now or get the mercenary now to be like, hey, I don't need to go get synthetic oil. I don't need two new Goodyear tires and all that sort of thing. I just need something that's going to, like, let me be okay. Like, give me a patch, give me a quick change, and then put half a bottle of windshield wiper fluid because I can get through, because the driver of the vehicle, Patrick Mahomes, will make sure we get to the finish line.
Right, he won't hit the potholes.
Right. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, Max Pack, Bob's Bottom Feeders. I love this segment on Wednesday. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Moore. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Random question, Mac. How old do you think Vince McMahon is?
I just watched that documentary.
Mm-hmm.
80, 78?
No, 79. Yeah, I was stunned. He said 79 years old. I'm like, damn.
You would have thought older or younger?
Younger. I mean, really? Older you get, the younger you think everybody is. You know, you start to feel like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, 79?
That's right.
Man, yeah, he had some work done that made him look a little differently.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it was the same guy that Tom and Jerry used? Which is really weird to say it like that. Tom and Jerry.
I was like, wait, what? I was like, what?
Quick little shout out before we get to Max Pack here on 96.5 The Fan. We started this Monday for you to go spread the news. The Frank Sinatra, start spreading the news. Crestridge Cougar, you go to their Instagram page. Remember Monday morning, 22,000 likes?
Mm-hmm.
We're now at 29,600.
There you go. There you go. Get them that field and that track.
That's right. Let them be a quality. They're one of 16 schools to get the T-Mobile qualifying grant to upgrade all their facilities and everything in their high school stadium. If you look at the video on Instagram, all you have to do is go like it and then possibly share it. It has 13.7 thousand shares, 29.6 thousand likes. Let that school get their win, and hopefully they can get some money to that stadium that has a gravel track and potholes that are worse than in my backyard and their football field, and their equipment needs updated, all that sort of stuff. Their equipment and their fields are in the bottom feeders. They need to be up in the top of the pack as we get into what is Max Pack here on a Wednesday.
It's time for Max Pack.
People love that kind of rhyming and alliteration.
Yeah.
Max Pack. That's right.
If you get a Macintosh, you can have Max Mac.
Let's get into Lusty's Dusties.
Which teams are you lusting over today?
I like that.
Yeah, the Chiefs, and that's about it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really like Houston.
I was talking to somebody yesterday out in San Francisco doing a radio thing with them, a YouTube type thing or whatever you want to call it. He goes, who do you fear the most? I'm like, honestly, just Houston now.
No one.
Let's attack Max Pack. Start at number 5 with the Houston Texans.
Oh, that low. Wow.
The back of the pack.
It's the back of the pack. The Houston Texans. I don't think they're as good as they are last year yet. I think they have the ceiling to be better.
Be fair.
No Nico Collins.
No Nico.
Absolutely. Right. And I think that's why the ceiling's higher. You add Nico. Stephon Diggs. Tank Dell is now cooking, coming off that injury. He's back after 6 weeks of playing.
Does Dalton Schultz just suck?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened to Dalton Schultz.
I took a flyer on him in fantasy, and he just...
Joe Mixon's looked good when he's healthy, but I'm like, okay, Joe Mixon, he's had injury issues in Cincinnati. He's an older running back. He was great last week,
he was really good last week.
Back last week,
Every week he's played, he's been great.
Cincinnati probably regrets that.
But the defense isn't what it was either. People are talking about Will Anderson. I look at Will Anderson's stats compared to Chris Jones, and they're the same DPOY odds. Absolutely just... It's rude. It's honestly rude.
Jones had a bye and Anderson had a sack last week.
That's just what it is. It's just annoying because he's not near
the moment.
Let's go to number 4. I'll go the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
I know. This is gonna surprise you, though. I think the higher I go here.
Okay.
Minnesota Vikings.
The higher you go here? Okay. Because, I mean, Minnesota's 5-0.
He might eat that potato soup before we know it.
Yeah, right. I know.
Sounds good. Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I really like the defense. I like what Brian Flores is doing. I think the offense obviously has the weapons. Yeah, they're four.
They're 5-0.
I'm getting there. Let me do the damn thing. Right. So I'm the biggest Sam Darnold truther in this room. I'm technically not in the same room as you.
No, you're in the room by yourself. So yes.
So let's say we're all in the same room. I'm Sam Darnold guy, but I don't think that it is sustainable how well that offense is playing. I think it's going to keep going and be a solid offense. But I think the Lions are the best team in that division, and I think the Packers are going to have something to say here in the next few weeks. But I like what they're doing. I just don't know. Sam Darnold, MVP candidacy. I think he's going to come down back to earth a little bit. But I do think they have a great roster. I'm excited about it. But I'm going to take some of the other teams here, like the Detroit Lions, in that division at number 3 is where
I have
them.
Even with the injury?
Right now, because I haven't seen them without the injury yet. I'm just going from what I've seen them, and they are the most complete team in the NFC. They're maybe the most complete team in the NFL. They have the best running back duo in the league. Montgomery's on pace for like 1,500 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs can absolutely run around and through everyone. You know, Bob, you're a Jared Goff lover. I think he's really good. He's a top 10 quarterback. He's consistent. But the main thing is they have the best offensive line in football. They have a top 7 coach in football. And they have one of the best, you know, arsenals of weapons in football. Amon-Ra, Jameson, Sam Laporta. We mentioned the running backs. They're a complete team. I'm going to give them above Minnesota for that reason at 5-1. Baltimore at number 2.
Ooh, okay.
Baltimore's biggest weakness for the past 4 years has been what?
It's Lamar Jackson in the playoffs.
Sure, but even more than that, it's the fourth quarter, right? Yeah. They'll enter a fourth quarter lead of 14 points. There's some crazy stat. I mean, they're under 500 when leading by 2 possessions. It's just crazy. They know how to choke. Well, they've never had Derrick Henry. All of a sudden, they're using Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter, and that's when teams don't want to tackle 6'3", 245-pound Derrick Henry. And I think that's the recipe for success for them now. They can take time of possession away. They know how to get in the lead. They know how to score points. Derrick Henry will be able to chew clock and close some games for him.
And I will say, being at the Super Bowl in Miami and seeing Derrick Henry in street clothes, you know, kind of just walking around South Beach, I'm like, I can't imagine that dude in pads coming at me. I'd run the other way.
Good thing you didn't see him in a swim trunk.
He pretty much had, like, he was wearing, like, barely a shirt and, like, really short shorts. We're like, oh my God.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So before I know who you're going to get to at number 1, I want to go back to your Lions in Baltimore. What's the better duo in Detroit, Montgomery and Gibbs or Williams, Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I think I'll go Gibbs and Montgomery.
Okay.
That's really close.
Because this
good
week
question.
Was the Montgomery game. Two weeks ago was the Gibbs game, which means it would play that this will be the Gibbs game.
The Gibbs game.
And then the Baltimore question I want to ask you this is that I think before the season, we all three kind of had the same situation. They were kind of load management, Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
They realized that they can't do that because they got to compete with the Chiefs because they start off 0-2.
Yeah.
Are they burning the juice much early on Derrick Henry to where, like, when it gets to the end of the season and his age and his longevity will start to add up? Because the other counter offer to that, if like we always like to do devil's advocate, starts to get colder and teams start to get more hurt,
right?
Maybe Derrick Henry goes up.
If they're burning out
the fuel early, when does that start to... Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe...
No, I think that's a fair question.
That's a legit question.
I'm surprised I didn't come up with it.
I think we've been saying that about Derrick Henry for 3 years. I'm just kidding. Until I see it. You know what?
Last year we actually saw it. Last year, like towards the end of the year, like with Tennessee.
Did we or did he just quit in Tennessee? Like, we're Titans, out, you know. Yeah. And I hate to use that term quit, but he's like, I'm not doing it for this mess anymore.
And then number one.
No, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. Okay. I don't care. You know what? I know. The offense issues, yeah.
I don't care.
But I love
it. It's a 53-man roster with a coaching staff, too. Yeah. You know, like, we don't judge teams just solely on offense. I think a lot of people want to do that in this day and age.
Because what, Chiefs have the top five offensive line, top three defensive line.
Yep.
Number one defense.
Yep. Best defensive coordinator, best head quarterback. Coach, best quarterback, best tight end. Best interior offensive line. I mean, we could keep going. I mean, this team has all what it takes, and they have the experience. They're number one.
Well, other than Patrick Mahomes, and we got to always do this without Patrick Mahomes in the conversation because he changes everything.
Mm.
Is hiring Steve Spagnuolo the best move that Andy Reid has made as head coach of the Chiefs? Or?
It's that or Veach.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Or is it Brett Veach?
Tie. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, you got Bob Sutton out of here, and the defensive culture completely changed, and you've won championships because of it. You got Brett Veach in here, and you were able to roster a complete roster without having to worry about anything. You've made tough decisions, but you've made the best decisions for business. And after watching the Vince McMahon documentary, you're going to do what's best for business. You didn't, you didn't keep Tyreek Hill. You won two Super Bowls.
Right.
You got rid of Willie Gay. Looked foolish in that Tampa Bay game. Looked absolutely lost against Tampa Bay. So, I mean, it's 51-49 Veach Spags. Because you got to get the players to play on the roster.
If you make a case for Spags, I'd buy it. If you make a case for Veach, I'd buy it. That's how close they are. But, I mean,
remember back in the day they thought Howie Roseman was better? How's he doing?
Yeah, how's that going?
Now his head coach is using kids to cop out of questions.
Right, what a lame move that was.
That's lame. That's a Richard of the week.
That's up
what
there.
What was that, tough?
What do we got now time for? Time for Bob's bottom feeders?
That's what it is. All exactly.
Right. All right, here we go. Number 32. You got to go with the Carolina Panthers this week, right?
Really?
They're just a really bad team. Who do you think is worse than Carolina
Dallas.
Right now? Okay, I didn't put Dallas on the list because, like,
I could have sworn Dallas was going to be on this list.
I'm tired of Jerry Jones yesterday was like the line for me where I'm like, can somebody check on him to make sure he's okay? He's fighting with radio hosts now. Like, you're at that level. That tells you that season is slipping away, right? So I got Carolina coming in at number 32. Cleveland Browns, God love you. You did the right thing yesterday trading Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. You're waving the white flag. Your team sucks. You got Deshaun Watson as your quarterback. Your owner's a clown show, too. So Cleveland comes in at number 31. As long as Daniel Jones is playing for the Giants, they're coming in at number 30 on the list. That is just a football team that has been crushed because they have incompetency at the quarterback position. Coming in at number 29, the New England Patriots this week, coming in at number 29 because, well, they stink. And then the owner, Bob Kraft, is on a radio show yesterday talking about how he fired Bill Belichick and he wouldn't adapt to the new culture and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, my God, you're out here slaying a man who's the king of the castle right now, right? Belichick getting ready to marry a 23-year-old. He's on every commercial and TV show. People love Bill Belichick, and the Patriots rot. And Robert Kraft is now trying to throw stuff at Bill Belichick. Now, you're on that list at number 29. And then number 28, culture change needed probably after this week in London. The Jacksonville Jaguars come in at number 28 with Doug Peterson and his culture change being thrown out there. They've got the Patriots this weekend in London, baby. Get up early! New England! Jacksonville, primetime morning game.
29 and 28 on your list.
I don't know that even the folks in London are showing up for that one.
Who's the most disappointing on this list?
For me,
Cleveland, because they keep putting Deshaun Watson out there.
That's fair.
Based on like what you thought, expectation-wise,
I guess.
Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville probably on that list.
Pretty upsetting.
Is it a worldwide consensus that Trevor Lawrence is never going to be Trevor Lawrence that they thought?
Well, I love these teams that sign these quarterbacks to more money than Patrick Mahomes and they don't do anything. Stop paying people more than Mahomes.
Fair enough.
I mean, holding on like an inkling of faith.
I thought that like Doug Peterson was kind of a guy that could get him in the right direction, which I thought we'd see when they had that six straight when they lost the Chiefs and they went all the way through and went to the playoffs and then
that should have been the jumping off point. Nothing but a failure since then.
Threw four picks in the first half against the Chargers and then came back and won the game. And you're like, okay, maybe he realized what he has and what he can be. And then all of a sudden last year was battling injuries. And then this year it's just been a complete disarray.
Yeah. It's been a mess, man.
It's not good.
And they still paid the guy.
That's right.
Like just because he plays quarterback and he's due a contract doesn't mean he has to get that contract.
It's tough. Jacksonville is in a world of hurt. Because it didn't work at quarterback, and now it's not working anywhere else.
No, it's that thing's a mess. What, they won one time since Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And that was what, last week?
Yep.
Yep. Not good.
Not good.
And Thanksgiving is close.
That's right.
Yeah, they beat the Colts. Remember, they were up by like 14, and they almost blew it with 4 minutes to go. Like, yeah. They almost found out a way to lose that game.
I mean, yeah, Flacco found Pierce.
Yeah.
Twice. Down the field. I thought Doug was done. Did they not lose in London this week? They won in London?
No, they lost to the Bears.
Yeah, they lost Caleb to the Bears.
Caleb, yeah. So it was 2 weeks ago that they won. Yeah, to the Colts. Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so their losing streak continues. And then they play this week again in London.
In London.
Early. Which you can sleep in for that game, as Bob just mentioned. Yeah, so.
Or if you're up, Fantasy Football Sundays, 9 to 10. Right, right here, 9 to 10.
That game starts at 8:30. Sleep until 9.
Yeah,
turn
sleep
on
until
Mac.
9. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then you're doing after hours soon.
Yep, today, me and Drew, 7 to 9.
Tune 7 in. To 9 after hours.
Yep, going to be a fun time.
Debut.
Exactly, yeah.
Protect my baby.
I will. I'll do my best.
You hold on to that thing tight.
I'll try.
Speaking of holding on to something tight, Mark Davis is he's holding on to Tom Brady tight.
You know, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. We wanted to get to this point first before we started defining anything of that nature and all that. But it's just exciting. What I was going to say is we traded Devontae Adams for Tom Brady. And although Tom can't play, I think he can help us select a quarterback in the future and potentially trade him as well.
What experience does Tom Brady have in drafting and selecting a quarterback in the NFL?
None.
What experience does Tom Brady have in developing a quarterback? The only guy that he could have developed, he forced to be traded to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I mean, it's interesting because this whole thing's kind of interesting.
It really is, right? If you wanted to sell your team to somebody that could help you draft and develop a quarterback, you should have sold it to Andy Reid.
Mm.
Like, that's the guy who can draft and develop a quarterback. You sold part of your team to Tom Brady, A, because you're cash poor. I mean, let's call it what it is. The Raiders are cash poor. You know, this guy with the bad haircut can't even afford a haircut. He can't afford to go to In-N-Out Burger. Like this guy ain't got no cash. So Richard Seymour bought into the team yesterday. Did you guys know that? Did you know Richard Seymour?
I found out this morning.
Right? I saw this. Like, Richard Seymour. Like, nobody's talking about Richard Seymour buying it. It's all about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then the owner, the bad haircut owner in a white tracksuit, sits there and says, we're going to have him hopefully, you know, draft and develop the next quarterback, when Tom Brady in his entire career has never drafted or developed the quarterback. And I started to think about, like, these star players that take over, other than like Ozzie Newsome and Jerry West, what other star player has come in and run an organization? Does anybody have any idea? Magic Johnson doesn't do a good job. Michael Jordan doesn't do a good job. Like, just because you're a good player doesn't mean you're going to be a good executive. And this is so Raider. This is so good. This is so wonderful that they think Tom Brady's going to draft and develop their new quarterback. Like, that guy's doing something weird out in Vegas, man.
Textline makes up a really good point. Three different texts. Andy Reid can't own the Raiders because he already currently owns them.
True. That's a good point. That is a good point. Yes. Well done.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because,
I mean, Jeter was a failure. Jordan was a failure.
Peyton was okay.
He wasn't an executive, though.
No, but he had some say, but he didn't really do anything.
Yeah, he wasn't brought in as an owner to draft and develop the new quarterback.
It's just interesting because Brady's like a broadcaster.
Right.
And then now the Raiders are laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And
is he going to be critical of the Raiders and be honest about it?
He's not allowed to be, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think he can. I don't think he can do
anything.
It's
one of the rules.
He can't do the Raider games.
I don't know if he can't do the Raider games, but I don't think he can be like critical or like give insight of what he thinks should be better or done differently as an announcer.
Then you can't put him on a Raider game at
all. Prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs.
So you just,
how's he going to do his job?
That was a really good call, in my opinion. He was clearly out, Tom. Mm-hmm. That's your opinion.
No, but seriously, I didn't realize that. He's not allowed to criticize the referees.
He can't be in the other team's facilities. He can't watch practices like these broadcasters.
I thought they said he could, because I read some comments yesterday from some owners that go, yeah, whatever. Like the guy who runs the Dallas Cowboys PR department, which, again, a bad example because it's Dallas. But he had said, yeah, we'll welcome Tom in to see what's going on. So he knows for the broadcast what's going on. But
Well, this is just from Seth Wickersham on Bleacher Report. Now, but you may be right. It may be team individuals and say, "Yeah, hey, let Tom to, come in."
Yeah, right. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not letting Tom near the place. No. Like, he's calling the game this weekend. If I'm Andy Reid, I'm like, "Sorry, bro, you own our rival. You know, allegedly rival. But you own part of the Raiders. I'm not welcoming you in here. I'll have a quick conversation with you. How you doing? Good facelift, all that kind of stuff. But we'll move on. But I'm not telling you anything. I'm not giving you any secrets. Like." It's going to be interesting to see how soon Greg Olson is back in that number one chair over there at CBS or whatever, Fox or wherever that he is. Because if Tom Brady's on the air and he can't question officials, that's like 90% of the broadcast. I don't know, Jim. They got a guy in the booth that they go to after just about every play that criticize. Like, how is Tom Brady? Is he going to just fade into the bushes like Homer on this guy? Ah, man.
Somebody says the only one they can think of is John Lynch.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
John Lynch is the only one that really comes to mind.
Great, great one on the text line, yeah.
And then someone just chimed in and said, Chris Young to the Rangers. I mean, did win a World Series.
Did win a World Championship, yeah.
That was a splash in the pan. See if they can continue to be good with him under control. Coming up on the other side.
He wasn't a star player. Like, the guys who are, like, ancillary players do better in those roles because it's harder for them to be. Great players can't coach because they're like, just do it like me.
Right. That's why Harbaugh is probably a better coach than what Peyton Manning might be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or George Brett
is a hitting coach. Like, swing.
Yeah. Hit it where they're not. See ball, hit ball.
Right.
Yeah. Coming up, Bill Belichick may not coach again because of a certain love interest, and maybe there's some times where we do that as well in life. Coming up on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty, Mac Morey as well. Some more executives that have done well. Larry Bird.
Did he? I'm asking. You guys are more of an NBA
he
fan
was
than
in Indiana.
Yeah.
Kind of turned that franchise around for a little bit. Never won anything significant.
No, never won anything.
Yeah, I mean,
it kind of, I don't know. It was bad.
Was he the executive in the Malice in the Palace?
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, I think he was there at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like 20 years ago.
That was insane. Never seen anything like it.
Do you remember where you were? We were at Charlie Hooper's when that went down. I remember, like, everybody just stopped. Like, what the hell?
I think I was just at home watching. I think I watched it live.
Whew. I mean, that was, unbelievable.
Throwing stuff at Ron Artest.
I don't blame those guys. Man, you come out of the crowd and you start messing with athletes, you deserve to get your ass kicked.
F around and find out,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, man. Like, seriously, these people who think they're going to challenge athletes and whatnot, good luck. You deserve to get bludgeoned. Did you see that Ravens fan beat the crap out of the Washington fans? What a loser piece of trash that guy is.
Lost his job.
And now he's wanted for attempted murder.
Yeah, no way.
That was the case. Wow. I think it's assault, attempted murder, lost his job.
God.
Jeez. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw yesterday.
I mean, he knocked a guy out.
I mean,
on the street?
Yeah, for no reason. Just because he was wearing a Washington jersey. Like, come on now. Sports isn't that important. Seriously.
His name is Jack Callis. After winning, too. Like, why are you?
Because he was going around bragging that they won.
Yeah.
That game was in Washington, right?
No, I thought
was it in Baltimore?
I thought it was in Baltimore.
Yeah. I can't remember where it was, but like those were the streets of Baltimore. This guy's walking around like, I mean, if this is The Wire, that dude done, yeah, he going away. We ain't gonna find that guy again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in the harbor. I mean, that guy's just a jerk. That's just terrible, man.
Stayed around till Friday.
Whew.
I guarantee you that guy's name comes back up. Yeah, the incident involving Baltimore Ravens fan occurred after a game between Ravens and Washington. Jack House involved in assault on Washington Commanders fan after their Week 6 matchup. The incident was caught on video and went viral. Following the incident, Jack House reportedly lost his job due to his actions, and the Baltimore police are investigating the case, potentially pressing charges.
Yeah.
I'd sue the hell out of him.
Oh, I would, too. Yeah, they got to get the victims now. I read something else to kind of, you know, solidify all that. But what story do you need? We all saw, what happened, man. Like, why would you get to that point where you're allowing sports to take over? Like, that guy's lost it all. He will never recover. He's always going to be that guy. And it sounded like he had a pretty decent job, some accounting firm or something like that, right? Some good job. You're never going to have a job like that again. You're never going to make that kind of money again, and you may never be able to get any sort of real employment. And people are going to see your name and that video, and people do their research. You just type this guy's name into Google, and boom, that, I'm not hiring that guy.
Yeah. Somebody says the camera guy should be charged as well.
This isn't an episode of Seinfeld at the end where we're charging the camera guy with stuff. Like, I don't know. What's the camera guy supposed to do?
He did him? He did the best job. He got it on video.
Right, exactly. So now you can press charges against this guy.
Which, I mean, he did stop the film once he, like, went out there and flexed in the street like a badass for knocking out a guy for no reason.
Right, guy walking, like, with his girlfriend or something. Like, they start beating him up because he's, I mean, you are a total horse's ass, man.
Yeah, Richard of the Week is 2 days away, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, man, are we sure he's going to coach again?
I told you he wasn't.
I know that in the back of our minds, we know Bill Belichick wants to be the all-time winningest coach.
Right.
But he's winning quite big now. He's going on Pat McAfee's show. He's going on the Manning cast. He's really kind of like shown this new personality. Now, maybe that's because he's getting laid and he's happily in a relationship.
Right.
Which makes you think... And maybe I'm being hyperbolical here, but did this relationship maybe give him a different thought process of like wanting to get back into football? Or is this just one of those summer flings that has continued to go on and the honeymoon phase has gone on longer than it normally has?
If you're the 23-year-old girl that he's dating, are you pushing him to go back to coaching football or are you not pushing him to go back to football? That's the question I want. What does she want in this situation? Because it sure seems like this guy is ultimately going to say, you know what? I'm not going to coach anymore.
Women weaken legs.
And that's kind of where I see Bill Belichick right now. Like, he's living the high life, guys. He's, I would say right now, universally liked, right? Is there anybody that's telling you, I don't like that guy? Like, we all knew he'd be accepted when he went on TV. I don't know that we all thought he would be loved, but I haven't heard anybody say, God, I don't like what Bill Belichick brings to the table. Like, he says things. People quoting Bill Belichick, he's on a lot. He's saying things that matter, and he's dating a 23-year-old, and he's making good money, and he's in commercials, skimming his pool, giving fantasy advice. Like, I feel like Bill Belichick got out of that bubble of coaching and is like, this is kind of fun. I got literally no stress. I'm dating a 23-year-old. I'm getting paid money to talk with Pat McAfee and the Mannings. Why do I want to go back to coaching other than chasing that elusive win category, which, man, I don't know. If I'm Andy Reid right now, I'm telling Bill, you ought to stay retired because Andy Reid can become the winningest coach of all time if Bill Belichick stays on the sidelines.
A source has told the Daily Mail that things could soon become serious between Belichick and his 23-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. Quote, Bill is in a bit of a crossroads on what he would like to do for his future as there is still a drive to coach again and break the wins record. But his life now isn't that bad as he has been enjoying doing TV, absolutely enjoying his relationship with his girlfriend, Jordan, that has blossomed into something that is going to lead to marriage.
She wasn't even born when he started coaching the Patriots.
She wasn't even born when he was married the first time.
Women weaken legs.
And so does the Chicago Marathon.
Yes.
He wants to be with her all the time, but she is pushing him to see the options that we'll have for the next season because she knows that makes him happy. After a year removed from the game on the field, he is going to have some more options, but it looks like now he'll be making a decision not just for himself, but with the love of his life, as he wants her to be happy with any decision he is meant to make and any offers he will be given.
Ever make a decision because of a woman?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Career-wise, big life decisions because of a woman?
Yes. My last relationship ended because of this profession.
Really?
1,000%.
So you chose the job over her, obviously.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay.
I don't think she was really happy with my schedule because it's back when I was doing shows from 6 to 9.
Right.
I told her that, you know, I don't plan on...
But you didn't give up something because of a woman is what I'm getting at. Like, Bills could be giving up a chance to be the winningest coach of all time for a lady.
No, I basically told her, I was like, look, the most important things in my life are my family, my friend circle, and my job.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're very important as well. And then as the relationship kind of went on, it was kind of very well notable that, you know, maybe she wasn't hop or hip into how much I had to do things. Like Sundays, I, you know, couldn't always go to church. I had a show that started at 9 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't, you know, do things for Chiefs games. I had to pay attention. I had to go to, you know, help cover Royals games, stuff like that. It's like, oh, what are you going to do on Wednesday night? I was like, well, we have Thursday. Well, Wednesday's when I...
Yeah, that's sorry. Her being selfish, yeah. though. Good move by you. Mac, thanks. Did you ever make a decision, I know you're very young yet, so you may not have had those opportunities, but like a big life decision where you're like, man, I did this because of her and I shouldn't have done this. I got to follow my heart. Obviously, you moved here. You've got a fiance in Nashville. Look, I moved twice dating different women at that point in time. Yeah. That, you know, one ended up in marriage. The other ended up in a broken relationship, which needed to happen.
Yeah.
But I think when you start to make decisions based on your girlfriend and what she wants, you're not doing what you should do.
Totally.
And so that's why I look at Bill Belichick and I'm saying, if he doesn't ever want to coach again, that's great. But if he's saying he doesn't want to coach again because he's loving life with a 23-year-old right now, I don't know that he is making the right decision.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'd say, honestly, I mean, I went to the University of Tennessee. So glad I did it. I don't know. If I wasn't dating a girl at the time that was already at school there, a year older than me, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have gone there. Who knows? I'm glad I did. It was a good decision.
Yeah.
Wasn't dating her by the second semester of freshman year, you know.
It's fine, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. But other than that, no. Follow my heart.
Yeah.
That's right. Do what you want to do at first.
That's right.
Somebody says in the text line, yeah, I got married. Should have never done that.
Get out.
From the 2-0.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
06. I moved to Korea for a woman once.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Damn. Nick Short, former producer of 10 to 2, moved to Colorado.
Yes, he did.
For a woman. Mm-hmm. Still does sports, still does what he loves.
Right.
But he moved.
He moved.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, she's moving for me, so.
Is she?
Okay. Okay. All right.
Five more months, Bob.
Coming up on the other side of the year, Defensive Player of the Year.
Who? Other side of the year?
Yep. That's right.
Yes.
Other side of the year. Who is the Defensive Player of the Year? We discuss here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.